Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, a partner at PricewaterhouseCoopers, and our conversation today is with General Edward Harrington, Director of Defense Contract Management Agency. Well, in the first segment, we talked about DCMA becoming independent, and I'm curious, how did the organizational culture change when that happened?
Well, I think our culture has evolved probably outside of the change. We were made designated a combat support agency, just like Defense Logistics Agency. We still consider ourselves a part of the family, frankly, at Defense Logistics Agency. But what that designation meant to us is it raised our awareness of how much more we are important to the warfighting customer out there. So if there's a subtle influence on the culture that, at DCMA, it's just impacted us, I think, that we are now more conscious of the criticality of what we do. It means that we have to look at what we do in terms of the actual provisioning of vital supplies and components and systems to the warfighter. We need to become engaged more and more in supply chain management. The Department of Defense's overall initiative, and each one of the services is working this very, very diligently to reduce the numbers of stuff, if you will, in the inventory, to depend upon response with an item as opposed to going to a large inventory. We play a very prominent role in that because we are the individuals that are in the plant managing the actual production of those parts and components and assemblies and systems. So that, and that culture, that part of that culture, I think is, for lack of a better term, business as usual. We understand that importance. But now that the criticality of an item that needs to get to the front, so to speak, just underscores what we're going to do and need to do as a combat support agency. And that's the part of the culture I think we're going to grow into, Paul.
What type of monitoring takes place of an independent agency, say, by yourself or, say, perhaps by the Department of Defense?
Well, the Department of Defense has its inspector general function. The GAO at the congressional level has oversight over our activities. Congress does also. Congress enacts laws and legislation and requires us to do our own internal reviews to make sure that we're complying with the laws, that we comply with regulations in terms of how we review ourselves to make sure that we are managing ourselves properly. The Combat Support Agency Review Team is a DOD function, will come out and assess our readiness as a combat support agency sometime in the next year, year and a half. So there's a variety of oversight for us that shows us that we need to be able to manage ourselves and now as an agency with a scrutiny such that we can demonstrate to our customers that we are an example as far as acquisition management and contract management and that our honest broker role in that regard is as pure as we can make it.
Earlier you mentioned the integrated management system that helps you comply with certain GEPR requirements. Could you tell us about this and how you're doing against those goals?
Yes. The integrated management system starts with an assessment of ourselves, and we've called that the unit self-assessment. That's a mature process at each level in DCMA. Our field activities do it on a yearly basis. Our districts do it. We do it at our own level. It obligates us to define where our strengths are, where our areas for improvement are, to look at the areas for improvement and the strengths and determine what is it that we need to focus our energies most on improving or maintaining as a strength. And from that, then we go into the strategic planning and business planning, performance planning process. As we follow on and have followed on with that, we've developed a mature process we call unit cost, which complies with the tenet in the Government Performance and Results Act to do activity-based management and activity-based costing. And we've been able to develop a system where we can determine the costs of each one of the mission functions we perform. And we group the mission functions in what we call service sets. And those service sets are what we offer our customers in terms of performing mission functions for them, maintaining contract actions, doing quality assurance, payment functions, doing software surveillance, engineering activities, industrial analysis. we're able to quantify the costs of those, and from that to determine how efficient and effective we are in each one of those mission functions in those service sets.
Do those tie to individual performance?
They do. That's an area we have been working at. We have more work to do that, but our subordinate field activities have the performance contracts. That's beginning to flow down to the individuals in each one of the field activities and to our own people in our headquarters. We're not there yet. We have more work to do.
We know that the ranks of DCMA have decreased over the last 10 years as a result of downsizing. So I'm wondering how you've dealt with that by perhaps changing processes or introducing efficiencies.
We are like every other federal agency. In 1990, where we were 26,000 strong, we're 12,000 now. That's mandated that we use such things as information technology, you know, to be able to take advantage of electronic information flows. We've looked at how we can integrate our processes amongst our personnel so that they can team better together. We have what we call a one book, which is a very detailed outline of the individual processes that we use for the customers. And then we take those processes and we judge how much they cost to be able to determine how effective and how efficient we need to be. We then take a look at where we're applying our skills with the risk-based management system we've got and say, do we have the right people at the right place at the right time for the customer, for the magnitude of requirements that customer has. And at that point, it's a continual process. We have a monthly management review process that we do. We look at the mission sets and the service sets and a financial management review where we look at the unit cost of our field elements and the individual mission functions we use. And then from that, say, what do we need to do to improve? And that's a group of senior leaders to include the field commanders at the district level in Boston and in Los Angeles. And here we have the commander for the International District who sits in on that with us. So we get the field perspective when we sit down and look at how we're doing and then figure out what the next steps are to be able to do the continuous improvement. I think that's a trademark for how we manage ourselves.
Sometimes things don't always go right, so I wonder if you could tell us about the Contract Dispute Resolution Center.
Right. Actually, Paul, I think that's a good news story. This Contract Dispute Resolution Center is the place we all go, us, the program managers, the acquisition managers, and the contractors, where, for instance, if a contractor has a claim and we cannot, as a government, achieve some type of an agreement to adjudicate that claim so that we can both pursue our best interests, we go to the Contract Disputes Resolution Center and go through a process called Alternative Disputes Resolution. And we found that we can reach consensus that's agreeable to the contractor, for instance, or that's agreeable to the government to be able to resolve a claim without going through an extensive amount of litigation and, in fact, taking people to court endlessly and consuming resources on both the contractor's part and on the government's part to adjudicate claims, actions, and grievances, if you will, that normally you'd have to go to court for. So it's been a good news story, and I think you'll see it's sort of a growth business these days because we found some success in it and that we can resolve these claims to the satisfaction of all involved.
I was going to ask, what are the lessons learned from seeing these resolutions come out so positively?
We're beginning to learn that we can go further back in the process. And before that claim starts, is there something we can do to reach consensus to resolve that up front? And then is there something we haven't done way back at the start of this thing that we ought to go do and we need to advise our customers in the acquisition and program management world? Or is there something we did in contract administration that we could have done differently or better or identified sooner? And every now and then there might be a regulatory change we want to propose that helps us or a contractor stay away from saying we've got a very, very contentious issue here. Can we resolve it with regulatory guidance, for instance?
It's time for a break. We'll be back with more of the Business of Government Hour in just a few minutes.